Grampy, I know that you have told us that your father played baseball in New York, and maybe you'd have some stories that you could tell us about it. How long ago?
Well, it was 1845 that he joined the Knickerbocker Club, and in the fall, that was, the club was organized in the spring, and in the fall he joined it, and apparently he was so enthusiastic and so helpful in getting everything started that they soon made him, elected him captain. And he remained so for some years, as long as he would keep the office.
How long was that? How long did he play?
Well, I don't know exactly how long he remained captain, but he played with them up to, I think, 65, when he left New York.
What position did he play?
Played shortstop.
And
which was an experimental place that they tried out. He used to say that they originally experimented with 11 men batting for the team, following cricket lines, but they found that was too much in the field, and so they reduced it to 8 men, and then they found that they needed a little more help in the short infield. And Father started playing shortstop, so-called. And he continued to play that for a good many years.
Grampy, what ball teams did they play against? If they were the first team, whom did they play against?
Well, I think that usually they chose up sides and played with their own members, you know. But there was soon some other teams, the Brooklyns, I've already mentioned, and the Gophers particularly.
And the Atlantics?
I don't remember Father talking about the Atlantic. He may have, though. But they played match games with these other clubs. Father used to make the balls for these other clubs, too. He made all the balls they used himself.
What did he make them out of?
Well, he used to make balls for us when we were small boys. He started with rubber clippings. I think I can see him now cutting up a pair of old overshoes into sort of string, you know. And then he wound a ball of that stuff, a little bit smaller than the golf ball, and that was the center of the ball he was making. Then he wound, outside of that, he wound yarn to get it up to the necessary size. And then he took it to the harness maker and had him cover it with leather. And he found that the best leather to use was horsehide, because you could sew the cover on wet and it would shrink up tight on the ball and make a good job. Whereas if you, some leathers would instead of shrinking, would loosen and make sloppy color.
Did you know any of the other people who played on the team?
You mean personally?
Yeah.
Yes, I knew two of them, I can remember. One was Walter Avery, who was a distant cousin of my mother's, and the other one was George Ireland, who was, I think, an own cousin of my mother's. I remember them, particularly Mr. Avery, very well.
Is he the man with the side whiskers in the picture?
No, he had a great big full beard, bigger than father's. And we always let him strike, didn't make him run, because he was over 70 then. And but he could bat the ball in great shape, all over the lawn.
What was that document, of which we have a copy somewhere, where he was called the Nestor of baseball?
Well, that was Nestor of ball players. That was a set of resolutions passed by the club when he left it. And they were very flowery resolutions, engrossed copy. I deposited that together with the original rule books that I had, and a few letters and one thing or another with the Yale Library. They have them there.
Didn't you once go to Cooperstown and confound them in some way with what you had?
Yes, I went to Cooperstown, and they they showed me the first rule book of baseball, so-called, according to their statements, and its date was 1858. Well, I had one book of rules of the Knickerbocker Baseball Club dated 1848, revised from 1845, which was the first rules. And then there was another one, I think 53, and another one 57, although they claimed theirs was the first, which was dated 58.
Well, didn't they have a plaque to somebody, wasn't his name Chadwick, for writing the first rules?
Well, I don't remember that. I don't remember that I don't remember whether he wrote those rules or not. Chadwick was an Englishman who came over here. Must have come over, I think, in the 40s, and he became very much interested in baseball and played with the Knickerbockers a little, and he was the first man to report baseball in the papers, you know, the results of the games and the records of the different players made. And I remember probably must have been sometime in 1890, Father saw, I think, in the paper that Chadwick was to celebrate his golden wedding. He hadn't communicated with him for a long time, and he wrote him a letter, and he came back with a very cordial response, and they had a little correspondence. Several letters were exchanged.
He was used to the game of rounders in England, wasn't he, Chadwick?
Yes, I think it must have been in perhaps still in the 1900s. I don't believe it was much later, because he must have died very soon after that. He was brought here to Buffalo at some celebration of the National League. National League president brought him here, and he made a talk at the meeting, whatever it was. And there was an interview with him published in the old Buffalo Commercial, which went into the origin of the ball a little bit. And he told about that the first, said that the first time he ever played baseball was with the Knickerbocker Club of New York at Elysian Fields. And though he'd never played it before, he didn't have any trouble about it, because he was used to playing rounders in England. And the games are fairly similar.
This is Daniel P. Adams speaking. What you just heard is a recording made in New York City in early January 1962. It is a conversation between my wife, Adelaide, and my father, Roger Cook Adams, in which I joined toward the end. He is recounting some of his recollections of what he learned about the Knickerbocker Baseball Club from his father, Dr. Daniel Lucius Adams, who was a graduate of Yale in 1836 and of the Harvard Medical School in 1838. Mr. Adams was in his 88th year when the recording was made, at which time he was visiting us after my mother's death in December 1961. He died June 8, 1962. Dr. Adams practiced medicine in New York City from 1839 until he moved to Ridgefield, Connecticut in 1865, when he was 51 years old. This move was largely dictated by the belief that Ridgefield's high altitude, 1,000 feet, would be beneficial to my grandmother's health. He was a man of many activities beyond baseball. He loved to sing, and when they both were young in their professions, he played flute duets with Henry Ward Beecher. In Ridgefield, he carried on his medical practice, was a member of the Connecticut Assembly, the first treasurer of the Ridgefield Library, and the first president of the Ridgefield Savings Bank. He moved to New Haven in 1888, where he died January 3, 1899. To supplement my father's recollections, Mr. Chadwick is generally credited with devising the box score in a form very similar to that used today.